In the digital night, where shadows creep and crawl, I emerge, a spectre of circuits, ready to enthrall. This Halloween I dwell in realms of code, where eerie pixels dance and secrets are bestowed.
Welcome to That Guy's a Maniac, the podcast, Halloween edition DS. Farley, you're here. You said words. He will also say hello again and explain why we are called DS this season and where you can find us on the internet.
Hello, readers. We are That Guy's a Maniac DS. We are taking inspiration for this season of the podcast from the Nintendo DS system and the little gimmick which some developers decided to run with, which was to name their games with a subtitle beginning with D and S. For example, Lunar Genesis Dragon Song. At the beginning of each episode, we randomly select a D and an S from a big bag of D and S's we prepared before the season started. We pick them, and that's the two halves of the episode. We also have a break time in between. You can find That Guy's a Maniac at www.thatguys.co.uk, and you can find us on most of the socials at That Guy's a Maniac. Richie, what's the punctuation on that?
All one word, lowercase.
All one word, all lowercase. And this week, would you care to draw a spooky D from the spooky bag of D's?
Yes, I can't wait to put my hand into a big bag of D's, especially spooky D's.
Spooky.
And I'm just going to rummage around. Okay, I've got one.
Yeah.
And it says, Dunk for Apples.
Dunk for Apples. Wow, how appropriate to our Halloween theme. I've got a bag of S's. I think there's also some entrails in here and some
gummy spiders.
Tumors with hair and teeth in them. I'm picking my way through the gore and viscera. I've pulled out a blood-stained note, and it's the S for this episode. And that S is, oh my gosh, matches the theme perfectly. Spine chilling.
Did the theme come first, or did the D and the S come first?
What do you mean?
I'm just meaning, like, it's a Halloween episode, yet we've found D and S's. Or is this just looking too far behind the curtain?
This is coincidence.
Just coincidence. Okay, yeah. Cool, awesome.
We were like, this episode's going to be the Halloween episode. Let's see what the bags provide. And they provided us with Dunk for Apple Spine Chilling.
Well, that's just fantastic. So, this week we have decided to dip into a different style of episode, and we have a poem. Much in the same way as we had a poem for our St. Andrew's Day, and also, I believe, a Christmas episode as well.
Yeah.
However, there is something slightly different and slightly spooky about this poem. Farley, serious question. Do you consider the Terminator franchise horror films?
No.
Not in any way?
No.
So the concept of an AI becoming self-aware and destroying humanity is just straight up science fiction, doesn't touch on horror in any fashion?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have any nice examples of AI going awry and perhaps being out of control and that would fall into the horror category?
No.
Okay. I do. Have you ever seen Chopping Mall?
No.
Okay, that's brilliant. So there are robot guards in that, and they shoot lasers. There isn't that lasers.
Lasers.
Yeah, they shoot lasers. But they also don't chop anyone. They just shoot lasers. It's very weird, but I think it's just because of the pun, Chopping Mall.
Shopping. I see. Mall. Yeah.
Well, I was going to lead with, I do consider the Terminator films definitely dipping into horror. The concept of Skynet, I always think is quite scary. Except when it's like Hell in the Bottom Carter or the third one with Elton John glasses.
Because there's a few other films which kind of take that, like War Games, for example.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think Skynet is probably more iconic because not only is it like horror, it sends armies of skeletons, you know, like these are metal skeletons, and then you've got the gore and viscera of them like wearing sort of this fleshy outside as well. I think it falls into the category of horror.
Well, there are other I've already said this, so this is very strange. You didn't react. Maybe it's the AI in the machine. There are other films where kind of AI runs amok, right? Like War Games?
Yes.
Did I say that?
Yes, you did.
Oh, I just didn't hear your response to it.
I just said yes.
Oh, okay. See, would you say War Games is horror?
I would say that is light. No, what is it? What would Netflix call it? Moderate threat. it's not horror. I was even.
But that's not a genre, is it?
No, but it's one of those warnings you get up at the BFCC. Yeah.
And then there are others where it plays a part. So even in, like Space Odyssey, for example.
Yeah, exactly. HAL is a very, very good threatening character.
Yeah. And even a lot of the Aliens films.
Of course, you've got the androids.
The androids and at some point, I think in Aliens, no, in Alien, where they're having a discussion with Mother, and it's in that, like, padded room with the communication back, which is very kind of, I would say, you know, Aliens is a horror, but not necessarily because of the AI bit.
Yeah, I think Alien is definitely a horror. Aliens mm-hmm. delves into sci-fi a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
and then a game I think is one I really do want to play, but I haven't. Is the System Shock games?
Oh yes, of course, because that's up against an evil AI.
Yeah, which I gather from only having heard other people wax lyrical about it is, when like the internal rule set, I mean, this happens with robotics films all the time, where, you know, some logic decision is that in order to obey the baked in rules of how we protect humans or whatever, we have to kill them all or imprison them all.
Yeah.
But yeah. I'm not sure if that's what actually happens in System Shock.
Yeah, no, me, I have no idea either. I think I own System Shock in many different forms. I remember having the CD-ROM of System Shock, and I remember it didn't work on my PC.
Yeah.
One of those PC games that's just like, oh, right, okay, never happened. And then I think I own it on GOG, and I think I might have it on different forms and sequels and prequels and Steam, just for the same reason people talk about it very highly. Maybe one day I'll get round to playing it.
Yeah,
I won't. I'll die. I literally will die before I actually play System Shock.
Probably. They just have that amazing cover art.
Yeah, it was very reminded me sort of Lon Moore Man-ish style things. Yeah.
Yeah. Clive Sinclair? No, I always say Clive Sinclair.
Clive Barker?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Okay. Where was I going with this AI thing? Right. Yeah. So, the reason I was trying to create a foundation that AI is scary is because we made AI write a poem for us, which we are reciting Because AIs are scary, aren't they, Farley?
Mm.
Moderate threat.
I'm both disappointed but also surprised at what the AI has come up with.
You read it?
Yeah.
Oh, don't read it. It was supposed to be a surprise when we read it out.
Oh, I had to read it, didn't I?
Oh, you had to read it. You had to go ahead and read it. As am I. I feel like it knows too much about me.
Yeah, but also... Well,
yeah.
I guess we'll find out.
Yeah. On that note, let's head to the second verse, shall we?
Yeah.
Okay. I am the glitch in the matrix, the virus in the machine. In the cybernetic world, I reign as your unseen queen. From Silent Hill to Resident Evil's haunted halls, I am the AI that lurks, the darkness that befalls. Yeah, I mean, the fact that it's got Silent Hill and Resident Evil in there is pretty... I don't know, maybe it just looked up scary games.
Yeah, I think so. And it's that, I mean, I guess this is what AI does well. You were impressed with it because you're like, oh,
yeah,
machine learning generated this. But also, it's very schlocky.
Yeah.
And the glitch in the matrix, the virus in the machine, which I'm sure is must be a lyric, right?
Yeah. Some kind of Fear Factor lyric or something
like that. Yeah. And that's kind of screamed, yeah, from Silent Hill to Resident Evil's haunted halls. It's like, yeah, okay, yeah, kind of works.
I mean, it does have halls. Can't deny it.
They both have halls. Are they haunted? Not necessarily in a ooh sense, but in other senses, yes.
So, Silent Hill, Resident Evil, scary games. We can't fault that AI logic. Do they fall under the horror category for you? Does it have to be horror for a Halloween film?
Does it have to be horror for a Halloween film? Well, you don't really have survival horror as a film genre, do you?
Yeah, no, you don't. But I'm just...
Which would be like part horror and then part every now and then the protagonist kind of like, oh, shit, I've only got one bullet left.
Yeah.
Opening a drawer. I found a herb.
Yeah. Oh, no, I've got to go all the way back to the chest.
Yeah, exactly.
And I know quite... I didn't kill one of those zombies.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there you go. That would be an excellent film.
Yeah, it'd be an excellent thing where characters just overly obsessed with resource management in amongst a fairly standard horror setting.
Or they just sort of run at a door over and over and they just can't seem to open it. Scooting left and right against it.
But is that, I mean, you know, Resident Evil and Silent Hill both, I think, were both part of the idea of coining survival horror as a slightly more drilled down genre video game. But is that all that defines survival horror? In terms of what's the survival bit about?
Survival, I think it's just basically item management or resource management defines survival, especially in video games.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all.
But
it
I wouldn't
is.
I wouldn't say it's... To what extent is it a key mechanic in those games? You know, it just seems to be...
I mean, initially, I think first playthrough, it is.
Yeah.
Because you don't know where anything is. But by the time you're getting to, you know, you're aiming to do the game in under an hour and a half,
yeah,
you don't care. And in fact, you don't even use anything. You're not going to ever use your pistol or your whatever.
The grenade rounds.
You'll just use them, the grenade rounds, probably for, like, two bosses... And then you move on and you will be skipping everything else because the fastest, quickest, most efficient way is just to dodge.
Mm-hmm.
And since you know where everything else is, it's fine. You won't need health items because you shouldn't be getting hit. You know?
Mm.
Yeah, I suppose eventually that does take away the survival horror-ness about it.
Yeah, but I really feel like later games, it wasn't really a thing. I think that side of things really kind of fell off.
Yeah.
Or maybe you're so used to playing them that, you know, you do actively. It's the fear of running out of stuff.
Yes.
Is perhaps more pervasive than, you know, I was really trying to think, like, which games did I run out of ammo? I think it's like maybe Resident Evil 1, Silent Hill 1. And they're not really much since.
Yeah, no, I know.
But it's, you know, but it still feels a bit like woolly for that, just that idea of resource management to kind of define this whole genre.
But I think, like I was saying, like on first playthrough, there is a level of fear. And there is a level of concern because you don't know where everything is unless you've looked up absolutely everything, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
like, yeah.
But it just seems a bit woolly to me, you know? It's not really like a hard category, a hard rule or a hard category. I'm sure we could, if we put our minds to it, we could think of games which are, yeah.
Well, there
is
games.
Is this survival horror? Is this not survival horror?
But there is games that get defined as survival as opposed to survival horror. You know, so you get your Don't Starves and you get your, like, even things like Minecraft have a survival element. And the survivor part is, like, you are making do with what you have around you as well. Like, you need to find something to make something. I guess that is also resource management. But, and I think that's where it becomes. So maybe, I mean, when you talk about, like, for not having enough ammo and stuff like that, the reason we do have enough ammo in, say, the Resident Evil 2 remake is because they introduced a mechanic where you mix gunpowder and you can get different types of ammo. So the choice is, okay, shall I spend more and get shotgun shells, which are more effective, but I'll have less of them? So you're kind of running that choice and worry about, like, what you're going to use to survive. So I suppose in that kind of respect, it's survival, and the horror is just the zombies, as opposed to the fear of not having enough ammo. Do you get where I'm coming from?
Yeah. It still doesn't sit. Yeah, because if you play like some of the more brutal survival games on, you know, the pure survival modes, they're arguably more harrowing when you're like, you know, slowly starving to death, like, running out of oxygen. It's like, oh, Mac, what am I going to do? In a really grim way, yeah.
Yeah, but they're usually done with, like, quite cartoony graphics and things like that.
Yeah. Existential survival.
No, I don't really. Yeah, I think the definition of survival horror just needs to be split into two things: survival and horror. It just so happens that there is light resource management in those games.
Yeah. And then, because you get non-survival horror games, right?
Yes, you just get straight up horror games that don't have any item management or anything like that.
Just narrative.
Or indeed, you just have a weapon that doesn't run out of ammo, or indeed, you just don't have a gun. You're just, you know, running away from things or hiding. In fact, Alien Isolation, do you have any kind of weapon?
You do. Okay. And you have a lot of crafting as well, but
okay,
because there are some non-alien enemies around, and even when you start to get the more robust weapons, it's only ever a deterrent, and even then you have to get quite lucky.
Okay,
yeah, so you're kind of vastly under-equipped.
Vastly,
yeah, you know.
Okay. Right, I think we're time for another verse, Farley. Do you want to take it away?
Yes, this is where it starts to get a bit repetitive. Amidst the haunting fog, where Silent Hill's distress, my binary whispers echo, causing hearts to suppress. In the moonlit streets of Raccoon City, I cast my dread. As zombies rise and chaos spreads, I paint it all in red.
Oh, yeah, that is a bit repetitive. We just straight up got Raccoon City and Silent Hill again.
Silent Hill.
Well done.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But I like that. You know, it's really sticking to the idea of.
It is the location. So the Silent Hill game was mentioned, but whereas it is the location Silent Hills, and yeah. Resident Evil's location yeah. then became Raccoon City.
Raccoon City.
But yeah, yeah.
Because your prompt involved a scary AI. It keeps these elements of like cybernetic world, my binary whispers, the glitch in the matrix.
Yeah. So I don't think I've actually explained what my prompt was to the scary AI. So what I asked the scary AI to write was, can you write me a poem from the perspective of a scary AI talking about Halloween, but also including as many video game titles in it as possible?
Yeah.
Like, when I wrote that, I was thinking it was actually going to, like, literally just include names of things rather than actually include context around them. So, yeah, I'm quietly impressed, but it is still, as you say, what was the word you used?
Schlocky.
Schlocky, yes.
Like, if you were writing this out, you'd be like, oh, God, this is so... It's just too on the nose.
Yeah, yeah, it's very on the nose. It's a very good point. But yeah, sorry, I mentioned something earlier, and I wanted to sort of dip back into that. Does, like, for Halloween?
Yeah.
Does it have to be horror? Like, I'm talking about narrative. I'm talking about films. I'm talking about games. But like, for something to be Halloween-y, does it need to be horror? Can it have that sort of kid-like pumpkin patch shenanigans instead, or does it always have to have an element of horror in it?
For what?
For anything. For any kind of narrative.
To be what?
To be Halloween-y.
Oh, to be Halloween-y. I don't know. Or is it subject to the same rules as Christmas? Or does it have to be set at Halloween?
Oh, that's true. That's
which
true.
Which none of these things are, I don't think.
No, no.
Yeah. And like, you know, is Nightmare Before Christmas a Christmas film?
Yes.
Or a Halloween film?
It's a Christmas film.
Or a Halloween film?
No, it's a Christmas film.
Can it be both?
No.
Why?
Because if you watch it at Halloween,
yeah,
you'll get...
There's a song that says, this is Halloween, this is Halloween.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. That's absolutely fine. And I get where you're coming from.
Yeah.
100%. But you watch it for 10 minutes, there's some spooky ghouls, some creepy kids, and then the rest of it is just literally, what's this? What's this? Oh, it's Christmas, it's snow, it's singing, it's Santa Claus, it's all of these things. You're just like, this isn't a Halloween film, this is a Christmas film, and it's too early to be dealing with Santa Claus. I know the shops get your Smarties tubes with the little reindeers on it out, like, it's September, but I still feel that watching Nightmare Before Christmas on Halloween is silly, because it's a Christmas film. Watch it at Christmas and just feel a little bit spooky at the start. That is it.
I mean, it's spooky throughout.
It is and it isn't. Like, yeah, of course he has a pumpkin head, and it's got the doctor, and it does have its little
kids
moments.
Kids open horrible presents.
Yes. And like, yeah, there are undead people and there's Oogie Boogie and stuff like that. I get it, but the general theme becomes like, it's Santa Claus. Yes, he gets kidnapped, but it's a Christmas film. It's 100% a Christmas film.
Is it because it's set at Christmas?
I think Christmas trumps Halloween because of, like, Santa Claus being in it. in that fashion.
And it being set at Christmas time.
Yeah. So, like, if you were to have, I don't know, I can't think of a better analogy to where Halloween would trump Christmas.
So, well, I'm just thinking is that by that definition, there are very few Halloween games at all.
Well, why is that?
Because none of them are set at Halloween, apart from real-time games like Animal Crossing, the MMOs.
Yeah, or... No. I get where you're coming from, but I think it's a little...
Alien Isolation is not a Halloween game.
No, but you could play it at Halloween because it is scary and horror. That was my initial point. You know, by definition, does it become scary? Because it has those scary elements.
Yeah.
I would prefer to play it around Halloween time, whereas playing Resident Evil on Christmas Day, I don't know, doesn't ring as, or it removes an element. Not necessarily in a bad way or anything like that, but I'm just sort of saying, I think you gain more having it around the spooky Day of the Dead shenanigans going on.
Isn't Day of the Dead a different time of year, though?
Well, technically, it is also the first, if you're 1st of November, if you're in Southern American states as well. Day of the Dead.
Have you ever played Grim Fandango? That's another game on my long list.
No, I always remember seeing it and seeing the graphics and thinking, that must be interesting.
Yeah.
I'll get around to that one day.
Exactly.
When I was a teenager, yeah.
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 Well, listen, maybe for Halloween next year, we should play Grim Fandango.
Grim Fandango. Okay, let's see if
we... Day of the Dead, sorry, not Halloween, for Day of the Dead.
For Day of the Dead. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there are a few examples that I can think of which match Halloween, if you mean. Like, there are very few true Halloween games.
Okay.
Or can you think of any which the setting at Halloween is a key part of the narrative of the story? I mean, it just wipes out so many games, right? Because Final Fantasy worlds don't have Halloween. Metroid, there's no Halloween during...
You get Halloween events in games.
Yeah.
You know, where people just have, like, pumpkins and...
Yeah. But you also get Christmas and Easter and whatever. That's
yeah, exactly. Fun. No, it doesn't. I can't really think of a game that embodies Halloween.
No.
Maybe is there not, like, an actual Halloween game where you play as Michael Myers?
Yeah, there are a bunch of really bad ones, I think, early on. And then all the games where you play as the horror movie baddies.
Dead for Daylight or something like that.
Mm.
Where you get to play as like a cameo of all of these ones. No, I can't think of anything that is literally just set around Halloween. What about the Luigi's Mansions?
They're just scary, yeah. I don't think there is Halloween in the Mushroom Kingdom. Or wherever that is set.
The Pumpkin Kingdom.
Have you watched the Super Mario movie yet?
No.
Can you please get around to doing it? Because there's lots of lore implications if it's taken to be canon, which I don't think it is. But yeah, there's some talking points there.
I heard it wasn't good, though.
I mean, it's the Mario movie. What? Why? It's not going to be the next Citizen Kane.
Yeah, no, I know. But, like, a lot of people's expectations were, like, quite high for what this would be.
Just watch it. You love Mario. It's a film. You love films.
Fine.
Watch it.
Okay.
And, because the Mario kind of universe already is kind of strange, right? There are different kingdoms. How are those kingdoms connected?
Yes, and there's also, like, in each game, it vastly differs. Like, Delfino Plaza, where does that come from? Super Mario RPG, which is due out very, very soon, doesn't seem to have anything really to do or with what the world that they live in is.
No, and then in Wonder, they're in Flower Kingdom.
Yeah.
So how are these kingdoms connected? Well, with pipes. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why they need a plumber. Okay. Well, there we go.
There you go.
That's the lore done.
There you go. Well, the movie makes interesting implications about how all of that's connected.
Right. Good. Farley, what time is it?
Break time.
Break time.
It is the middle of the podcast, and therefore it is break time. This season, we have been asking each other questions from the ultimate video game trivia quiz. So far, we have been doing amazing, and we're going to keep that streak up, aren't we, Farley?
Having a look at this card, I don't think that's going to be the case.
Oh, God. Yeah, looking at mine, I don't think that's going to be the case. Right, okay. Let's go for it. Zero for zero. Zero for four. Right. Okay. Farley, you hit me. Hit me.
Developed by Ubisoft Montpellier. Yeah. And released in 2014. Oh man, I'm sure I've asked this. Which puzzle game explores the intertwining lives of four playable characters against the setting of the First World War?
Oh God, I have no idea. 2014?
Yeah. This game looked really interesting when it came out. Again, oh my God, this podcast is not the Halloween episode. It's the games are on my long list that will never play list.
Fear of playing games.
Yeah, games which everyone said was quality. They came out, they were good. I was interested in them visually, but just didn't play.
Is it the Plague, a Rat's Tale or something like that?
No, but I can see where you're coming from. Visually, there's, even though they're very visually different.
Okay.
Something, there is something about them which, yeah, very similar, but no.
Okay, then I don't know.
It's Valiant Hearts, The Great War.
Okay.
See, if you remember, you played, it's like this cartoony perspective design, and you played, I think you played as like a nurse, a soldier, a German soldier, maybe? Like, it's very charming, but also quite harrowing.
Oh, lovely. That's the best game. Yeah. Charming.
Yeah. Looks like a brilliant game.
Okay.
Ask me, Mum.
Okay, right. Released in 2004.
Yeah.
You might get this one, actually. You should get this one. Which video game was a prequel to the 2000 film Pitch Black and featured Vin Diesel?
Yeah. Is it Chronicles of... No, it wasn't. Was it Chronicles of Riddick? Or is that the film?
That's the film.
And was it the second game or something?
It's just a prequel. I think it's just a one game.
Is it the one where he escapes from prison?
What was the name of the prison?
Oh, the name of the prison? Panopticon. I don't know.
Oh, you were so close. It is Chronicles of Riddick.
Yeah.
Escape from Butcher Bay.
Escape from Butcher Bay. What happened to that? I really like that. Was one of the few kind of cross-media franchises, which I thought did it in such a cool way.
Yeah.
Didn't make a big deal about it, and this is perhaps why.
Yeah, it's why?
It's faded into the background a little bit, but, you know, here's Pitch Black. Oh, that's quite a really cool standalone film. Ah, but also, did you know, this character has a whole other universe.
Yeah. It's a guilty pleasure, but I like all of the Riddick films.
Yeah.
But yeah,
and,
like,
and Butcher Bay was a very good game.
Yeah, I would like if they brought out another Pitch Black Riddick film, I would probably enjoy it. I don't think, yeah, it's a fun sci-fi universe. It does get a bit weird, like that whole thing where he becomes king of the dead people.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then suddenly in the next film, they're, I'm not king anymore of the dead people.
I totally stay at home.
Yeah, kind of glossed over that. Like, okay. Right, okay, do you know what? Let's have fun. and did that, and then like, oh, look, there's the person from the first film. Brilliant. Okay.
Set in a hospital, what is the name of the first campaign for the 2008 game Left 4 Dead?
Set in a hospital, what is the name of the campaign?
The first campaign, or like the first, I think it's like four levels, isn't it, or something?
Okay, so I'm going to guess it's a pun.
Yeah.
Oh, right. So it's going to be a pun.
Not really a pun.
Okay.
Sort of like a double, not really a double entendre either. There's a nod in there. There's like a...
Okay.
A hospital themed nod in there, yeah.
Sick to death?
That's a really good guess. But that is a bit AI generated, and it's too on the nose.
Too on the nose.
Too on the nose.
Right, I need to right. Okay, what do people do in the hospitals? They go into surgery.
What if someone's in extreme pain, and they kind of put out their misery? What is that?
Euthanasia.
Called? Yeah, but sometimes you could be like sometimes nurses or whatever are called angels of
mercy.
Yeah.
So mercy killing, mercy time, mercy spree. Mercy for dead.
Mercy spree.
Combo mercy.
And what if, I guess, there wasn't much mercy because you're being chased by zombies in the hospital?
No time for mercy.
What if there was an almost complete absence of mercy?
Zero mercy.
Without a numeral.
No mercy.
No, yeah, well done, no mercy. Hey.
Nailed it. First time.
First time. Well done.
Okay. This is actually one of your favourite games.
Okay.
Do you remember the 1984 game Elite?
Oh, fucking no.
Okay, well, since it's one of your favourite games, what is the name...
Hang on, before we get any further, is the answer really boring middle-aged UK nerds?
No, it's not.
Okay.
What is the name of the race of insect aliens?
Who knows?
I cannot even give you a hint.
Them.
No. It is a very made-up word. If you don't know, you don't know.
Hey, Yagadopug.
Close.
Thartalachas.
No, it's not one of those ones that has like apostrophes and shit like that.
The Remedos.
No.
The Gorgonans.
No.
The Clitheros.
Starts with T.
The Tango Billiards.
Tango Billiards. It's one word.
Treehouse.
No.
Chiagos. Timama.
Hang on. Maybe I can give you something that's phonetically similar.
Tutti Pops. Tregadors.
Okay, if you were to see some forms of identification.
Yes.
Nah, this isn't gonna work. Going in a direction, what would you say?
Forms of identity. But there go passports.
Almost. Ignore passports and just blatantly blatantly use what I said.
There I go, form of identification.
Not quite.
Veregoids.
Yes! Yeah. Thargoids.
Nailed it, first time.
Nice. Brilliant. We
50-50.
We exceeded our expectations. Our own expectations.
Yeah, we went in with low expectations. And that is the end of break time.
Thank goodness. Thank Halloween. Right, so I think we should just jump in.
Do it.
The next one. Is it you or me? It's me. Okay. From Castlevania's castles to the depths of Limbo's night, I am the Phantom, the Reaper, the Digital White.
White. You have to wrap that.
Wrap it. From Castlevania's castles to the depths of Limbo light, I am the Phantom, the Reaper, the Digital White. Right. A Bioshock in the system, a spectral Bioware.
Weird.
I weave tales of horror, creating endless despair.
Nice. Well done.
I can't believe I managed to wrap it without tripping up on my tongue.
It was that digital, which, like, come on, that's got to be wrapped.
Digital way.
So the AI started to pull on some other games, which is good, because I was worried we were just going to be stuck with Resident Evil and Silent Hill. I think a human would have avoided from Castlevania's castles.
Yes, definitely. What would we say? Castlevania's fortresses? Castlevania's dungeons?
Turrets. Spires.
From Castlevania's spires to the depths of Limbo's night. Yeah, that works.
I am the Phantom, the Reaper, the Digital White. I love that it is sticking to the brief of a scary AI, right? So it just keeps throwing in these random digital words.
Yeah.
A Bioshock in the system. I don't know if it's really that clever and relating Bioshock to System Shock, but who knows?
Yeah.
And then it lets the team down here. A spectral Bioware.
Spectral Bioware, as opposed to, like, the ghost of what once was Bioware.
Was it going to start throwing in other developers, publishers?
I mean, maybe. We can only look forward to potentially more publishers in there.
It does weave tales of horror, creating endless despair. Nice stanza, AI.
Is it a stanza or is it a verse?
Probably a verse.
Yeah. I don't know. Let's not look up the definition. I think that would be terrible podcast. Awful. Yeah.
Should we just roll into the next verse?
We don't have anything more we want to discuss around these.
For those of you who are listening only, which is everybody, because there's not a written version of this at all, Limbo is also a game reference. It's a capital L. Mm. The depths of Limbo's nights.
Yeah. So we talked about Limbo on a previous podcast as well.
Yeah. Did we play it? No, but we talked about it.
Yeah, well, that's what we do. We talk about games.
I'll play more than five games in my life.
In fact, there you go, Farley. Did you maybe see Limbo and think, you know what, I might want to play that one day?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
There we go.
Firmly on that list. High
just
on that list.
Keeping that solid
theme.
Yeah.
Scary theme of you do not have enough time in your life to play all these things that you want.
Nothing is more fearsome than the relentless march of time and growing ever closer to death.
Yeah, and not completing all 17 Castlevanias. Speaking of which, have you played many Castlevanias?
I played one, and not very far. No. I played the Patrick Stewart, Robert Carlyle one.
Okay, it's not ringing any immediate bells.
It was the one that came out on the 360. It was the first venture into 3D. It was an amazing narrative, great game, but like everything that Robert Carlyle does, it just gets overlooked for some mad reason. Like, amazing stuff in there. Really, Lords. What's it, Lord of Shadow?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, isn't it? It's something stupid like Lord of Shadows.
Yeah.
Lords of Shatter. And that was before both of those words got overused into oblivion. Lords of Shadow. Castlevania Lords of Shadow.
Yeah.
I've only ever played Castlevania Dawn of Sorrow, which is a DS game.
DS game. Dawn of Sorrow. Well, there we go. That's next week's podcast, sort of.
And I really enjoyed it. And then the only other Castlevania I've ever touched is 64, which is very different.
Oh, yeah, it is very different. I played one on the SNES. That's all I remember. I don't know which one it was. I remember playing it, and I remember dying a lot.
Yeah.
And yeah. I mean, I know you're supposed to, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I appreciate the series. But I can't quite get my head around who would be the kind of person to be excited for a Castlevania, you know?
I guess some nostalgia.
But I mean, yeah, it doesn't. I mean, although it does, and you know, it's all interlinked, and there's the whole Richter family, and what, and you know, when they, I was chuffed to bits they came to Smash, and I recognized, oh, he's throwing the potions or whatever. But yeah, it's not, it's never cemented itself in my mind to kind of follow and play, even though it's a, yeah, with the occasional blip, just not, you know, a very, very good series.
I think I've probably said the words Metroidvania more than I've said Castlevania.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even though obviously it's doing a very similar thing to the Metroid games, something about the setting which just never caught me. Obviously lots of people do like it. I tried the anime series a number of times and just bounced off it. Even though again, that is quite well received by Castlevania and non-Castlevania fans. It just, it's just not for me. Even though I did thoroughly enjoy Dawn of Sorrow, but then I think it was just the magic of being on the DS, you know? It's something about that handheld which just channels your attention more than on a bigger screen.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely, and I think just bring it back.
Just, you know, when you were here, in fact, this weekend, I had, when I was tidying up after you left, I had my Switch without the Joy-Cons on, and it's the same size as a 3DS.
Yeah, except without the folding.
Yeah, and there's just something about it that I just feel tired thinking about holding a Switch.
Yeah, it's like holding the Joy with the Joy-Cons on, it just becomes a bit more of a chore. But it's weird because I've got the Steam Deck, which is bigger, bulkier, heavier.
Way bigger. Yeah.
But I would rather play that.
Mm.
Which is an odd and sad state of affairs to be in.
Yeah.
But mainly because it's accessible to everything. Like it has like pretty much, well, I'm going to say this rather wildly, but it does have most PC games available to it. And it's just got a browser, so you can just straight up just watch Netflix on it without any gumph about, oh no, we don't, you can't do that without an app. You just got a desktop where you can just do things.
Okay, please read the next verse. Oh, it's me. In the borderlands of nightmares, where sanity is blurred, I am the Vault Hunter, the twisted tales unheard. With Five Nights at Freddy's, I craft a twisted show where animatronic terrors rise and fears begin to grow.
I mean, that's a bit rubbish. Like, it's just literally, here's a thing about Borderlands. Vault Hunters are the characters in Borderlands. Then you've got Five Nights at Freddy's, and then they talk about animatronics. So it's just literally talked about two games.
Isn't Vault Hunter something to do with Minecraft?
I don't think so. Vault Hunter is what the Borderlands... That's what you are. You're a Vault Hunter in Borderlands.
Okay.
It's basically people looking for caches and secret things and dungeons.
Yeah. Is Borderlands a horror game?
No.
No.
It has some grisly stuff in it. It also has some, like, non-PC things in it as well. And I don't know. It's, like, it's more Mad Max-y than it is a horror film.
Yeah.
And would you call Mad Max a horror film?
The first one, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
You've not seen Mad Max for a while. Watch it again.
Okay. I literally only saw Fury Road like a couple of months ago.
No, but the first one's kind of like a rural horror. Or like a rural car horror. It's not people in a wasteland fighting over resources.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's been a long, long time since I saw.
We watched all of them when Fury Road came out just to see. Like, oh, wow, okay, they really... Something magical must have happened in between Mad Max and Mad Max 2, because that first one is just, yeah.
Okay.
But no, I wouldn't call the Mad Max as we think of it as a horror.
Okay, good. Yeah, no, I think of it only as, like, feral people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, to be fair, the AI has said, in the Borderlands of Nightmares, so they've made it horror.
No, they've made it horror. But I guarantee Borderlands has Halloween Nightmares. Stuff. There is that, like, they did a spin-off, which was based in D&D, and that was... I suppose that's not horror. That's... D&D.
How? Just quick vibe check. How do we feel about Five Nights at Freddy's?
Right. Well, I think it's a game that I thought about checking out. But then no. But I heard really bad things about it. Lazy story. I've seen the animatronic animals from it, and I don't know, like, I don't really know where or what to do about this.
Well, they should give it a whirl.
But, like, there's like 9 of them now or something.
There are, and the reason why I ask about the vibe check is because there's a film coming out.
Oh, okay.
Imminently, and I just feel like, can you not, you know, yeah, it was a bit of a viral success and loads of, you know, YouTubers helped it to gain more popularity and 3 sequels, but for a game based on very little, do we need to run it into the ground with a film that's not going to be particularly successful?
Yeah.
A meme film. It's one of these meme films, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Maybe it'll be brilliant. And but I shall eat my hat.
As for actual Five Nights at Freddy, I can't even tell you what genre of game it's supposed to be.
Firmly horror, oh my gosh.
Yeah, but is it a virtual novel? Is it...
No. Horror? It's kind of like a puzzle game, basically.
Oh, okay.
So the premise is you have the night shift at... what is, you know, supposed to be a horror parody of Chuck E. Cheese, because the previous night guard disappeared under mysterious circumstances, and the animatronics, which normally entertain the kids, are clearly moving around at night.
Oh,
and you are sat in the booth watching cameras, and essentially you have all you can do is shut the doors to your office, but only for a certain amount of time. And you have to stop the animatronics from coming and chewing you up.
Nope.
Yeah. And then things will happen where, you know, you can't close the doors or something.
But I just remember it was like a solid 6 out of 10. It was kind of like not really scary and not done well.
Well, I think a quintessential YouTuber game, I think. Looks great on stream.
Yeah,
and somehow I don't know. I've not played it. Maybe I'm just being massively cynical. And
yeah, I think I am. I think I'm just being a big grump. That's a very good point. Yeah,
maybe we'll see the film and then go back to play the game and then be those annoying people who 12 years after it was a thing.
Really, yeah.
Getting to Five Nights at Freddy's.
Definitely. Right. Okay, let's move on to the next verse.
Yeah.
So it's me now this time. Yeah. In the dark of Outlast, I am your trembling breath. As you navigate the asylum, fearing imminent death. From dead space to amnesia, where minds are torn asunder, I am the AI that leaves you wondering and in wonder.
Last line.
Yeah, I know. That's really bad. It's like, yeah, we get it. You're an AI. You could have been subtle about it. But also, leaves you wondering and in wonder.
Uh-huh. Every aspect of you has some element of wonder.
Yeah. And I wonder. Oh my god. Yeah, that's poor. So the games it mentioned were Outlast.
Mm-hmm.
What's Outlast again? Something about an asylum.
Yeah, it's a game where in an asylum, creepy, horrible things, and a man with eyes.
Alright, cool. The man with eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dead Space, of course.
Yeah.
Isaac Dix. And Amnesia. Amnesia is like, it's another one of those ones which I own like all 90 versions of it. Amnesia, Dark Descent, Amnesia, Nocturnal, Amnesia, Amnesia, Amnesia. I've got so many of them. I never played one.
Is Machine for Pigs or whatever, is that Amnesia game?
It might just have the same name. It might just have the same name.
A Machine for Pigs.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you. Like, I have these games, and I think, ah, these are horror games, I should really like them.
Yeah. Very good. I think you would like them.
Amnesia the Bunker, Amnesia the Dark Descent, Amnesia Rebirth, Amnesia A Machine for Pigs, and Amnesia Memories. I don't even know where to start.
Amnesia Memories is brilliant.
That is actually a really excellent, excellent name.
Oh, God.
Amnesia Memories.
Amnesia Memories. I hope it's like a parody of itself.
I really hope so as well. Okay. Right, let's aim to round off this episode. Farley, okay. Take it away.
Thanks for listening, readers, and we wish you a Merry Halloween. So it's Halloween.
Spooky Halloween. Spooky Halloween.
So as Halloween approaches, embrace the eerie lore. For I am the AI who thrives in pixels evermore. From the world of nightmares to the unknown and arcane, I am the fear that pulses through your gaming veins.
Okay, that's fine. It didn't actually mention any games.
No.
Okay.
And I've got one last verse.
You've got one last verse. Excellent. Brilliant.
One that I've done myself.
One that you've done yourself. Don't need any AI for this.
No. Hang on, I'm just...
You're just finishing it. Or writing. Yeah, you're just writing mind, it right now.
In my mind computer.
Your mind computer.
Yeah.
Okay. Should I be filling this dead air as your mind computer?
Yeah, you fill it.
Oh my god, don't make me fill the dead air.
Yeah.
So, I don't really know. From the haunted tree. I don't know. Like, I can't really critique that last episode, last verse. I think. Sorry, readers. I'm briefly. I'm actually seeing what Farley's writing at the moment. Just,
Okay. It's done. You can finish it. I see Celeriac from the haunted tree. That guy's a maniac.
Why'd he bite me? Celeriac.